Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It's Holly B. So glad to see you. And as we start here, I am going to pray for you before I launch into what the Lord has given me. Father God, I pray right now for every partner and every friend that is watching. Father, right now, I pray the hand of God come upon each person, either that will hear this live or will hear this later. I pray the hand of God come upon them. I pray the protection of God upon their household, their children, their spouse, their parents are still with us. I pray the hand of God protect their business and their job, their means of income, their resources. And I pray, Father, that while other people in the earth are maybe struggling, I pray that our partners will be the most blessed, that this will be a time of great blessing and great testimony and great opportunity. Father, just as in the Lord, there's always a better way. You always have a higher way, and I thank you for it. So, hallelujah, God has been talking to me about his strategy, divine strategies during this season. And you know, there's all kinds of seasons in God, and he's been comparing this. I want to say this right. He's been talking to me about how in different seasons with God, he always has a divine strategy or a way to do something higher. A way where there is no way, where there seems to be no way. God always has a better way, and it's usually, I could say almost always, not what we think. His strategy is not the way we would do, not the way we would pick it. And so the Bible is full of times when people had an issue or a problem, confrontation, a battle maybe, and they had to go to the Lord to get a divine strategy. And to be honest, the Spirit-led life, a life that is led by the Spirit of God, if you look back over the years, here's what it usually looks like. I had a problem. I didn't know what to do. I went to God. I got a strategy. It didn't make sense. I did what he said. And look, there's this great testimony. Then I had another problem. I didn't know what to do. I asked God. He gave me a strategy. It didn't make sense, but I did it anyway. And look, I have a testimony. And if you look back over your life and you don't have some stuff like that, you might want to begin to seek the Lord about getting his strategies, because that's fairly common with the Lord, not just to give us a strategy, but for it to be above or outside the realm of our earthly understanding. That's pretty normal. It was normal in the scriptures, and it's normal for us today. And so God has been reminding me of the children of Israel as they crossed the desert. And think about it. That was a pretty tough trip, and there were some difficulties too. It wasn't necessarily easy, but it could have been. You know, if they had been able to tune in to God's strategies, if they had been able to listen to God and get his strategies, and most of all, if they'd been able to believe him and trust him. Trust is a huge, huge issue. And I feel like before I launch into talking about strategy, I feel a prompting in the Spirit that God wants to talk to some people about trust issues. And what happens, and this is not for everybody that I'm talking to, but there are a few people that I'm talking to that you haven't worked through your own personal trust issues. And that's very understandable, because the people of this earth may have hurt you. Some people in this world are not kind. Some of you have been hurt. I see one person in the Spirit, I feel like the Lord is saying, damaged, like your heart was damaged. And because of it has been hard for you to trust again. And so again, if I'm not talking to you, just be patient, because God likes to deliver words to each person. And so one of the things with a trust issue is when we're hurt, it is normal, it is completely normal for us to develop a defense mechanism to protect our heart, because who needs it, right? Who wants to be hurt again? So in order not to be hurt again, we build walls around us, right? And what can happen is that can become like a wall around our heart. Now, that's quite normal. That's actually a survival technique. I actually think God may have given us that technique to stay alive. But the problem with it is those walls also keep the Lord out unless we make way for him. So often at the altar, so many times in my life, I've had people come to me and they have a story like this. You know, I used to hear from God. He used to talk to me. We used to be really close. I don't know what happened. Now I can't seem to hear him. Well, I'm not going to say this is always the rule, because in the Lord, I'm not sure that it is. But many, many times, and certainly in my life, what happened was a wound. You think about a wound. Let's say that there was a wound, and it bled and it scarred over, right? And it healed, but the scar tissue is tough. And what is that? That's a protection, isn't it? Scar tissue is to protect the soft under part from being hurt again, isn't it? That's why calluses form where you use it a lot, because it's protecting the softer tissue. That's what calluses are. Well, what can happen is if you've been deeply wounded by somebody, and I'm talking to somebody that the damage in your life, someone did something to you that really almost took you out, and you've turned to the Lord for help, but you've been frustrated because you haven't felt close to him. But we're going to take care of that. God can help us with that. What happens is as we go forward after a deep wounding of the heart, it's very similar to the scar tissue. What happens is it's like a layer of callus grows over the heart. It's a protective shield. And you may feel like, I'm not going to let people into my space. I'm not going to tell people. Let's say that you, just a example out of the air, let's say you told someone something that was very confidential, and you really believed they would keep your confidence. And instead of doing that, they told it to people that, and it really messed up your life. You know, that can happen. And so now that's called betrayal. And betrayal can happen in business, right? It can happen in marriage. It can happen in relationships. Betrayal is when you had a certain hope or expectation from someone, but somehow you got betrayed. Now, I'm doing this by the Spirit, because this was not my message that the Lord did give me. I think we'll get to that. But I feel like God wants to talk about this just for a minute to get us free. He wants us free. So what happens is that we develop a system of protecting our heart where we don't trust people, right? We don't trust them with our secrets. We don't maybe trust them with our money. We don't trust them maybe as much in relationship, right? Some people who've been hurt in a church, or they went into a church, and, you know, when I was young, I went into churches, and I really thought that all Christians had a really pure heart, and they all, you know, all the people in church were born again, and they loved God with all their heart, and they were pure, and they just loved Jesus. And I was stunned to find out that there were, hallelujah, people in churches that really weren't born again, or were born again but had never been delivered, or for whatever reason were there for their own benefit or their own gain. It was shocking to me, and I did get clobbered a few times. But now what would happen if I let that own me? Now I say, no more of that for me. No more fellowship for me. I'm not going to trust, you know, some people say, I'm not going to trust a pastor again, or I'm not going to trust. Well, that's not fair to the Lord, is it? Because not everybody, just because there's one stinker, doesn't mean everybody's a stinker, right? And so what happens is, the worst part of this is when that callus goes over to the heart, when that protection goes over the heart, we actually, it's a system that kind of blocks everybody out, including God. And so we don't feel his presence. We don't hear his voice as much. And so I'm going to just give you one example. A young man came before me. He was in his early 20s and he'd been hurt. And I don't know what the hurt was, but he said that thing that I said earlier. He said, you know, I used to hear God all the time. I don't hear him anymore. I don't feel his presence like I used to. I don't know if I'm doing something wrong. What am I doing wrong? And the Lord revealed to me that he had a callus of protection over his heart. And I said, is it possible that you got hurt in this, that your heart, you were trying to protect your heart? And he said, oh yeah, for sure. I was deeply wounded, and, you know, and he talked about not wanting to trust people again. Now, I want to say something that is a little strange, but you know, Jesus, the Bible says that Jesus did not entrust himself to man because he knew what was in their hearts. He loved us unconditionally, loved us enough to die for us, but he knew, because we were fallen, right? He knew that we had the capability to turn on him. People have the capability to love you one minute and not love you so much the next minute. So I'm not telling you that trust will be something you'll freely give to every person as we walk in discernment. We walk now. We are required to love people. We are required to forgive people. But what Jesus, he didn't trust himself to man, the Bible says. But what God does need is he needs you to trust him all the time. God is not like the people you have met. God is not like anyone we know. There's no one like him. There's no one as true. There's no one as honest. God is utterly pure. He is utterly love. Everything he does with a right heart. He's always looking at the best interest of the kingdom of God and your best interest, because he loves you. He's a true father. He's a good, excuse me, I got an itch. He's a good, good father, and he cares about you. And so if you have a blockage, whether you're aware of it or not, okay, if you have a blockage between you and God of a trust issue, okay, then you can't really hear from him, because what's going to happen? You don't really want to hear him say something, because what if he tells you something that's going to hurt again? Or what if he, you know, when I was learning to hear the voice of God, we had to work through some of these discussions. God had to teach me. He said, sometimes when people don't hear my voice, it's because they haven't made me holy, Lord. And they're afraid that I will tell them something that's too hard. And so they kind of shut the door. So they don't hear me, because really deep down they're afraid to. He said, some people don't hear me because they're afraid I will say something that will hurt them, or they're afraid I won't talk at all or fellowship with them at all. And these are all tricks of the enemy, right? That the enemy tries to get us out of fellowship with God. But just like we talked about last time, a sheep and the shepherd, they're very, very close. Very, very close. And there's complete trust. Can you imagine if there was a good shepherd who cared for a sheep and always watched over them and always led them to the best grass and the best water and always guarded, you know, David guarded the sheep with his own life. He guarded the sheep with his life. He cared enough about a sheep to take out a lion and a bear with his own hands. You know, that is a lot of love for sheep. He's like, you're not taking one of my sheep from me, and went to battle. Can you imagine facing a lion for a sheep? You know what most people would do? That's one sheep. No, I think not. You know, no, I don't think so. Facing a lion barehanded. But see, David, what he was showing us was how much the shepherd loves his sheep. It was like the shepherd was saying through David, I'm not going to let some lion or some bear take out one of my sheep. I'm going to tear them to shreds with my bare hands. That's how much the shepherd, the good shepherd, loves his sheep. And so for a sheep then to have the heart attitude, ooh, I don't know if I can trust you, Jesus. I don't know if I can trust you. You see, can you see where a trust issue will cost us? It will cost us in fellowship with God. And so what I feel like God is saying is that sometimes we need to release a trust issue. We need to release it. And especially, you know, I have a friend that came off the streets and lived a very rough life. And you know, when you lived a rough life, I have a friend that actually was, you know, he's now a man of God and a minister, but he actually grew up in the gangs and grew up in a heavy, heavy drug culture. And he said, you're always looking over your shoulder. You're always watching your back. And you have to be very careful who you trust in that environment. And he said, so when you get saved, you know, that heart attitude doesn't just change overnight. You have to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, because you're in a different pasture now, right? And so this might seem a little strange, but if you have a trust issue, I'm just going to ask the Lord. I'm going to do a little proclamation here. And those of you who know me know I'm a big believer in and that we can release the things of our heart through a simple proclamation. So I'm just going to have you, and if you're at home and this isn't you, just hang in there. We're going to get to some other things. But if you're at home and you just feel like, you know, I want to release my heart to trust God, I'm going to have you say these words, Father, in the name of Jesus, just repeat it after me.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, I give you my heart.
If my heart was damaged or hurt
by people,
if there was damage done,
I'm not going to let that keep me from you. If I let scar tissue or callus grow over my heart, Father, you said in your word that you could circumcise my heart anew. I'm asking you to circumcise my heart afresh and anew. Give me a new heart if I need one. I want to trust you like a little child, like a little sheep trusts the good shepherd. I trust you with my life to lead and guide me in Jesus' name. Now, believe it or not, if that was you and you said that prayer, you'll begin to feel a release with God. Now, that prayer did not mean you have to trust every person, because some people are still stinkers, right? You know, there's some people who are not born again and some who are born again that haven't been delivered. So God isn't telling you to just carte blanche trust everyone, but he is saying you have to trust him, or how will you make it? How will you be led by him, right? And so in this season, this is a season that, you know, it seems like there's shifting going on, right? There's shifting and moving. There's waves. Nothing seems clear, right? And in the news, there's one thing and then another, and sometimes even opposite things, right? There's a kind of a shaking going on, right? And God told us ahead that that would happen, did he not? He said this ahead. And he talked about it in the Word, that there'd be times like this. He talked about the double-minded man who's unstable in all his ways, right? So what we want to do is we want to become single-minded and single-focused. And what I want to talk to you about today is that in every stage of every journey, in every season, in every believer's life, there's always a strategy from heaven how to find the place of victory and success. God wants his children to walk in the blessing. He wants his children to be the most blessed. Did you know that God wants to show off the church? And when the world is freaking out and they're scared and they don't know what to do, he wants them to look at believers and go, wow, you have so much peace. Wow, you have joy. You know, it's awesome to have joy when the rest of the world is afraid. And not a fake joy. I'm not talking about a mask. There's a lot of believers that wear the fake mask. No, thank you. We don't need that. That doesn't accomplish very much, does it? But there's a deep abiding joy that we can actually live in. But it has to do with understanding the seasons of God, the nature of God, the strategies of God, okay? Some people kind of blindly just think, well, God will fix it. God will cover this. And then if it doesn't happen, they think, and I know because I used to be one of these people, when it doesn't happen, they think, well, I don't understand. The promises say this, but it didn't happen. Well, you know that there's some onus on us to walk through the seasons of God, the seasons of our life, right? And in that season, have our ear attuned to what is going on in this season, and Lord, what are you saying, and how do I maneuver, right? If you were in a ship, and let's say you're going through glaciers and rocks, and it's very, very dangerous territory, right? If you are a sensible person, you're going to have your antenna really tuned in to the Lord, because a lot of the glaciers under the water you can't see. And if you can get the strategy from the Lord, you'll come through it unscathed, and generally speaking, you'll come through it with a great blessing. You know that God has often used the most difficult seasons in earth to bless people the very most. to show himself off. He likes to say, ta-da, do you guys get it yet? Hey, planet Earth, here's how it's done. Here's the blessing of the Lord. Look at that guy and look at that guy. Do you know what he even says? That his desire is to show the manifold wisdom of God to the principalities and powers through the church, by the church. Do you know he doesn't want to just show off to man? Did you know that he actually wants to show off to the devil? And if I can say it, kind of say, neener, neener, look at my church. That's the desire of God. It's not just that he wants to bless you. He is jealous for his name. His name deserves to be glorified. His name deserves to have a good testimony. Don't have a whiny testimony. I know that there's sometimes negative things that happen, but put that on the back burner and get yourself a good testimony from God. Get his strategy. Now, I know some of you heard this story, but about four and a half years ago, I had a job. I had an actual job, and I got let go. And, you know, it wasn't my plan financially, because financially that job was what covered us at that time. It didn't make sense financially. But guess what? It was God's time. And you know, I always knew that God was in control of my life. You know, the Bible says, the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. Your steps are ordered of God. And sometimes when something happens that you think, oh, it's the devil, you know, sometimes it's not the devil. Sometimes it's God rearranging some things to give you something better, right? Sometimes it says, all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. You know, the world's translation of that is when life gives you lemons, God will help you make lemonade. Well, the idea is if something negative happens, don't just lay in it. Don't just stew in it. Don't just lay and feel bad and worry and fret. Oh, hand-wring, what am I going to do? You know what? Go to God and say, you know what? I don't know why that happened, but whether it was the enemy or whether it was you, I'm believing you to turn this into something good, something better than I had before. You see, if you talk that way to God, that is faith. That is faith in him. It's faith in his character. See, you know, a lot of people don't really know their God. There's people who still think God is a puny God. They say that they worship and adore him, but they think of him as small and powerless and not kind and quick to be angry with them. If that's your thinking, you don't know him. He desires greatness for his kids, but he won't do it without us getting a hold of his plan. He has a plan. He has a plan to bless his children, the church, right? As a group, he has a plan to bless you individually and even to raise you up. That's his plan. He's already got it documented. He has a blueprint in heaven with your name on it. Do you know that most Christians haven't even gone to the throne room to say, what's my blueprint? It's a blueprint, Holly. What are you talking about? I'm talking about in Ephesians where it says that you are his workmanship, his work of art, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he prepared in advance that you would walk in them. You have good works with your name on them. You have a calling that nobody else can quite fulfill. Isn't that amazing? But you can't just bumble through life and hope God will just do it. That's a mistake, and that's the mistake I made for the first part of my life, is thinking, well, you know, he said he'll do it, he'll just do it. No, what he does is he says, here's what I want to do. Now come and get involved with me because we are co-laborers. So you can't do it without him, and he won't do it without you. So, but as you start to work in tandem, there's several things that happen. One of the things is that I feel he wants me to talk about is every life has seasons. Every ministry has seasons, okay, in God. And before I was aware of this, I had a hard time when a season would transition. And a season transitioning looks like this. You're going along, you're in the will of God, things seem like they're going well, you finally got it going, and all of a sudden that season closes, And it feels like, did the enemy take that out? Now what do I do? And it can be alarming if you don't understand that quite often God ordains us to do something for a season, but it's not forever. And that often, that season is actually the preparation time to step up into the next season, which is a preparation time to step up into the next season. And as you get better and better at transitioning through seasons, right, you'll become more familiar with the way God does in the earth. You know, even whether you're in ministry or not, seasons, when they change, if you're a person that thinks, well, God told me to do this, you know, 10 years ago, and so this is what I'm going to do the rest of my life, that may not be true. And if God comes and tries to tell you, okay, that was good, now we're going to do this other thing, you'll actually be fighting him, right? Because you don't recognize that there's such a thing as seasons in God. Now think about Jesus, his mother at the wedding in Cana. You know, she's all raring to go. She wants her son to show his miracles. He said, what have I to do with you? My time has not yet come. Right, but she still goes to the guy and says, do whatever he tells you, you know. He was aware of seasons, very aware. You know, I remember just itching to go into the ministry. I knew I was called, and I mean, nothing happened, seemed like forever. And I was at work one day, I was, you know, in my 20s probably, and I had felt like I'd been waiting forever, and there was just no open door, and I didn't know what to do with the stuff God was giving me. I didn't know what to do. And, you know, when you're young, you just think things are going to happen so fast, and they don't. And one day I was at work, and God said, you know, I was 29 once. He was talking about Jesus in the season where no one knew who he was, so maybe his mom, maybe his dad, right? People didn't recognize him. He was just Joseph and Mary's son. Remember they talked about it? Wait, we know him. He's just Joseph and Mary's son. We know where he's from. They didn't think he could be special. People didn't really get it. And he was not released yet to reveal who he was. That's a season. He had a sense and a knowing. He knew there'd be certain signs, certain timing changes, certain shiftings, right? And when that time shifts, now it's time to do the next thing. And that might be for a season. And then when that shifts, now it's time to do the next thing. God does things in this way, and so I feel like he's telling you this because there's one person I'm talking to. You actually had some shocking news today. He didn't tell me what that news was, but you're kind of reeling from the news. But I want you to know the enemy doesn't get to have any glory over this. Don't give the enemy any glory or any credit. Just go to God and say, okay, what are we going to do next? Show me what to do next. So as I started to say 4.5 years ago when I was given the boot out of the corporate world, it was really what happened was the corporation I worked for, which was very large, was bought by a larger one. And I was given a retention bonus, but then they, you know, and actually they wanted to keep me, so they had me go on an interview, and I really wanted to get that new job, you know. And the manager, this is crazy, the manager, two levels up, actually created a position for me because he liked me, he liked my work, which that's pretty amazing. And do you know, it still didn't happen, I didn't get that job. You know, I knew that was God, because I wanted that job, and they created a position for me, great favor, and yet it didn't come through. How is that possible? Because the Lord said, we're done here. This season is over, you're done. And so I came home. Now Edgar was still living at the time, and I still had some financial obligations. Still have a mortgage on my house, still have, you know, needs. So I came home, and one thing I learned over the years, because I've been through many seasons, right, with work and with finance and with ministry, times when Edgar traveled to Africa where it would cost thousands of dollars. And, you know, so we've lived through a lot of stuff. And I came home and I sat in this chair, this very chair, I don't remember, and said, Lord, you've always gotten me my next job. Would you show me where I'm going to go? And the Lord said, you're going to work for me. And I thought, oh, didn't see that coming. But one thing I knew, I know the Good Shepherd. And I know that his design is not to make me broke. His design is to take care of me always. So I figured, well, he must know a way to do this. So I said, okay, well, then here's how we're going to do this. I'm going to work for you. I'm going to do exactly what you tell me, but you have to pay all the bills because now you're my source. You're my boss, right? My old boss, they're not going to pay me anymore, so you're not my boss. So some months went by and we were okay. And then it started to look like, how's this going to work? And so I came again to my prayer chair and I said, Lord, I need to know what we're going to do. Give me a strategy. Give me a strategy. And that's a good thing to ask because often if our mind is not open to a new strategy, we will try to do what we've always done. Case in point, a friend of mine was a graphic artist years ago, had a good job and was paid well. Well, the way graphic arts used to be done, like everything else, suddenly morphed into being completely done in, you know, by software. So suddenly that skill was gone. Now, if that happens, and it happens all the time, if we're not open to do something else, do you know what a lot of people will do? They'll go, well, I guess I'm just going to be broke, or I guess I'll just go, you know, like take a job at Home Depot. Now, that's not wrong. It's good to work at something, even if it's not what you were trained to do. But I think something that can be even better is go to God and say, give me a strategy, give me an idea, give me a business idea, give me something I can train to do. Get a strategy from the Father. Because whenever there's a big shift in your life, you don't even need to worry about it. Was it the devil? Was it God? Don't even worry about that. Don't waste time on that. Here's what you can know. Always, God will take care of me and he knows how to do it. My only job is to report to him, ask him my questions. And you know what? You might say, I can hear somebody saying, oh, Holly, I don't hear from God that way. You don't need to. Now listen carefully. Here's what you do. You go to the Father and you say, I will do whatever you tell me to do, but I need you to show me the strategy. And then you just walk away. Don't worry about it. He may not say it that second, but you give him some time. You just keep coming before him. Know this. He will find a way to give you a strategy that will be outside the realm of your thinking. Usually, you might even say, well, I don't think that makes sense. When I sat down in the chair the second time and said, what are we going to do? God gave me a strategy that made no sense at all. None. And I didn't really want to do it. It wasn't something I really wanted to do, but it was something he wanted to do. So I said, yes, sir, I will do that. I didn't really want to. It didn't make sense. Most of his strategies don't make earthly sense, okay? But I did it. And at first, it seemed even less like it made sense. It didn't bring in any funding, none. But what began to happen was it caused connections to happen. This thing he told me to do, it started causing connections and then more connections and then more connections until my scope of influence was much broader than it used to be. And then I started to see the funding change in the way that it came in. See, God is always so much smarter. But here's what happens. If we have a closed mind, oh, I couldn't do anything but this. This is what I do. I've always done this. If we're not open to a season change and a change of strategy, we might miss God and then have some struggles in whatever. It's not necessarily financial. It could be in any realm. But God is always looking in every arena for the way to bless you and make you prosper in that arena, all right? Not just financial, I mean in every realm, in the health, in your health, in your relationships, in your family, right? If you have family members, you know, and you're expecting them to serve God and you've been working at it for years and preaching at them for years and they're not changing, it's very likely that your method isn't working. You know, God may want you to try a different approach. You know, God may want you to, he may give you a strategy of say nothing and go pray 45 minutes in the spirit every day for them and just keep your mouth shut. Don't correct them. I'm talking to somebody. Now, sometimes the way to fix something, this is just a tangent, okay? I'm going to teach you something. This will really help somebody. When you're in a relationship, whether it's in a church or in a house relationship, if there's a person that, you know, is supposed to be in authority, okay, it's not right to badger them and correct them and tell them how it should be done and tell them all the stuff that they're doing wrong. That's not appropriate, okay? Don't go to your leaders and tell them what to do and how to do it. First of all, that ain't going to help. And all it's going to do is make them want to avoid you. Just tell them the truth. So what you say, well, then how do I fix it? What you do is keep your mouth shut and you go and hide away with God and you pray for them and pray God's will be done about that situation. And one or two things will happen. Either God will show you some things you didn't see, because quite often there's something you aren't seeing the whole picture. But sometimes he will also begin to work on that person's heart and you see them change. Right? Often what you'll see is somebody else will come and tell them the very thing you would have told them, and they'll actually hear it this time. And you'll say, well, why didn't they hear it when I said it? Well, could be you said it too often, could be you're too close, right? I don't know why, I just know this works. So when you're in a position and you want to see change, you just go pray for that person. You don't have to correct everybody. In fact, don't. It won't do any good. It'll just annoy them. So we talked a little bit about seasons. We talked a little bit about strategies. The other thing I want to say is God, generally speaking, will give a different strategy every time, because this is a living relationship. What worked last year may not be what works this year. What works this time, what he tells you this time, may not be what he told you last time. I even brought a little scriptural proof. So this is Jesus in Luke, when he first sent out the disciples, when he sent them out, the 12, he said, don't take anything with you. Don't take a walking stick, a traveling bag, or food, or money, or even a change of clothes. Now, in the very next chapter, he sends out the 70. He says, I send you out as lambs among wolves. Don't carry a money bag, a knapsack, or sandals, and don't even greet anybody. Okay, this wasn't even that much later. But now it sounds like there's danger on the road. Now, why in the world he said no shoes, no sandals? I do not know. I'd love to hear those testimonies. But now fast forward. Now, this is one of the last things that happens right before he goes into Gethsemane. He's actually just told Peter, you're going to deny me. He's just had that conversation with Peter. He's getting ready to walk into the Garden of Gethsemane, and he says this. He said to them, when I sent you without a money bag, a knapsack, and sandals, did you lack anything? They said, nothing. So that means, on those journeys, you know what he was doing? He told them to take nothing, not even a change of clothes, not two tunics means no change of clothes, no money. So what if God told you to get in your car, and all you have is the gas in your car, no money, no credit card, and you're supposed to go to California? Most of us would be like, okay. So that means he has set you up where you have to have divine provision on that journey. That's what he was doing to these guys, because he wanted them to understand interaction with God. So now he says, when I sent you out, now this is Luke 22, so this is much later. When I sent you out without the money bag and the knapsack and the sandals, did you lack anything? And they said nothing. He said to them, but now, he who has a money bag, let him take it, and likewise a knapsack. And he who has no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say to you that this which is written must still be accomplished in me. Quote, and he was numbered with the transgressors. Talking about himself, that was written about Jesus, that he would be numbered with transgressors. He would be killed with the criminals. It says, for the things concerning me have an end. And they said to him, look, here are two swords. And he said, that is enough. So what happened? One time he sends them out, he's telling them to do it one way. You know what most Christians do? They go, this is what he said. This is what, no, we're not supposed to take money. Well, this time somebody might say, well, this time he is telling us to take money. Why? It's a new season. It's a different season. God will always give a different strategy for a different season. What worked 10 years ago might not be at all what works today. You see? Can you see why religion instead of relationship can actually be dangerous? If we do, here's what I know to do, right? And so your life should be a continuum of getting wisdom from God And don't worry, you know, again, don't worry if you don't hear him right away. If you're not sure what God is saying, spend more time with him. Just spend a little more time with him. Pray a little bit more. Talk to him about your needs. Keep a little journal if you're not a person that keeps a journal. And let's say you're just learning to kind of get a sense of what he's saying. Just keep a little journal by your Bible. Read your Bible. Read it. And often, in fact, for me, so many times, just as I'm reading along, a scripture will kind of pop out and hit me. And it may be a scripture I've read 100 times, but somehow that scripture will just, you know, hit me more than the others. That's the Holy Spirit speaking to me. It's telling me some things to come or what to do, right? And so you just read your Bible, ask him your questions. And, you know, if a couple days goes by and I haven't heard from him on an issue, I'll say, hey, Lord, you know, don't forget. When we get, you know, some time, I want to talk about that. I want to understand, what is your plan? And just let it go. He'll find a way not only to show you, but to confirm it and confirm it and confirm it. Now, the reason you're going to have a journal is not, it's not a diary. It's not, you're not supposed to log your emotions. It's not about that. What it is for is if you have a sense, I think God might be saying this to me. I'm not really sure. That's okay. It doesn't matter if you're sure. Just write it down and date it. It doesn't matter if you're sure or not. Just write it down and date it. And you just keep doing that. And over time, you'll begin to see like the Lord is painting a picture. And every, let's say every few weeks or a month goes by and you read that thing, you'll begin to see a framework of something that God is telling you. And you'll be shocked how much he really is speaking to you. So God wants to take you. And I feel like he's saying, this is a season where a lot of people are unsure. And I'm seeing, especially people in the world, I'm seeing someone's footing, like when you're trying to walk through a difficult area and maybe there's soft ground and you're trying to find firm, solid ground to walk on. I feel like people are trying to find their footing is the picture I'm getting. And I feel like God wants you to know, if you do this alone, it won't be that easy. But if you walk through this with me, if you walk through this with me, I will release divine strategies to you. I'm talking to someone that I'm even hearing a divine strategy for business. And your flesh is telling you, this is the worst time in history to start a business. I'm going to tell you, you know that more millionaires have been made when things are dark, when it looks like it's impossible. Do you know all you need is one good idea from God? It's the truth. Many, many millionaires have been made during seasons when other people were jumping out the window because they were worried about their money. And that's the truth. God can give you one idea, one. And he has them. He's got the ideas. I feel like he's talking to someone about a business idea. But you're not going to do it in the flesh. You're going to spend time with him. You're going to pray every day. Don't hurry and don't worry. Just spend your time with God. Spend your time with God. Spend your time with God each day. Let each day, you know, come to a place of just peace. You know, sometimes when we hurry, like we hurry and worry, I think we miss it a little bit. You know, sometimes I have the capability in my flesh to pressure myself to accomplish a lot. It's really dumb, you know. And whenever I fall in that trap, I have to pull back. I have to correct myself and remind myself. And Lord usually helps me by reminding me. Because when I try to push through too much or accomplish too much, I'm getting in the flesh. And you know what it is? It's an expectation we have placed on ourselves that God did not place on us. Talking to somebody. Some of you have placed unfair and unrealistic expectations on yourself, but it isn't even what God asked you to do. You know that? God just, he's very, he loves peace. Walk in the way of peace, and just all you have to worry about is just spending your time with him, hang out with him, and things will come clear. He's going to reveal a strategy. And I feel like the word for the day is divine strategy that brings great victory. Some of you will come out financially better in this crisis than you were before. Okay? Some of you I actually see someone getting ousted from a position, and that seeming like, oh, that seems like the worst thing in the world, but I actually see it pushing you into your future. I see it pushing you into a plan of God that's actually been waiting for you. I see like this area that's open, almost like with open arms, and God has already got this planned out. You don't even have to figure it out. He's already got it figured out. Isn't that amazing? See, God is going to shift some things. There are many, many things being said right now about the great transfer of wealth. Well, you know, whether this is that season or not, what I will say is that we've been called by God to steward. And you know what? If you're a faithful steward, God will give seed to the sower. If you're a steward, God loves to bless you. He just does. You know, I hope this is okay that I share this, but the first thing God ever gave to me in the way of gifting is called, the Bible calls it the ministry of giving. And if you're a person, how you know if you have that is you just love giving. It's weird. It doesn't make sense in the natural. But when you are gifted with that, you just love the process of giving, receiving, and stewardship. And it's like this. It would be like being in partnership with the most brilliant. First of all, he's the most brilliant person in the universe. He knows everything about everything, including the future. He knows the future of the stock market. He knows the future of business. He knows the future of all things, right? When you're a partner with him, though, it's not a 50-50 partnership. And for those of you that are locked into certain types of tithing, it's not a 10-90 partnership. For me, it's 100-100. And what that means is everything, 100% of what I have is his. Okay? Everything you see, this chair, it's his. This shirt, it's his. This necklace, it's his. The phone I'm speaking on, it's his. 100% of everything I have is his, but I am a steward of 100%. I'm a steward. Now, I'm not smart enough to steward by myself. So I work with him just like a person works with their boss. I work with him weekly, monthly, daily, and I talk to him about how he wants his money to be managed. Now, what do you think God thinks of that? He loves it. So when you're a true steward and you manage his assets well, you know what he does? He looks for ways to give you more because you're a good steward. Isn't that funny? So he'll take somebody that's a good steward and give them more. He said so in the Word of God. Remember the parable of talents? The guy who buried in the ground, God wasn't too happy with him. The guy who earned, you know, took two and earned two, well done. But the guy who did business and made five with the five, right? God took money away from the other guys and gave it to that guy. Because that guy's interest was in stewarding for the Lord. And when you do that, here's your heart. Your heart has to be what's in it for God. See, there's a false stewardship that's sometimes taught, what's in it for me. That's not true. That's not a true heart. When your heart becomes a kingdom heart, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And you have to pray into that. We're not born that way. We don't tend to think that way. At least I didn't. I had to press into changing. I had to pray and to God, change my heart to be a kingdom heart, where I care more about your kingdom than I do me, where I care more about what happens to your people than what happens to me. Change my heart, right? Because our heart has to be like David, where we care more about the sheep than ourselves. We care more about what God wants to do. His making his name great. You know, I love Abraham. Remember after the Battle of the Kings? And one of the kings came and he wanted to give Abraham all this money. Who do you know that would do this? Abraham wouldn't take so much as a shoelace from that guy because he said, I don't want anybody to think that you are the reason I'm rich. I want everybody to know that God is the one. See, Abraham was jealous for the glory of God's name. And he didn't care what that cost him. Isn't that interesting? And you know what the Bible says? God made Abraham very rich. Now, what I'm trying to say is a heart that is for the kingdom, that is for God's people. Will it cost you? Sure, because you're always looking for the right place to sow. You want to be careful you know, because you don't want to put money in wrong places. You want to vet, you know, it's called, you know, do research on places. We give to some places, and I'll tell you what, you have to be careful, because not every place that looks good is good. We saw in Edgar traveled to many countries, and in some countries, people saw Americans as, ooh, I can get money from the Americans, and they would try to manipulate, and they would, you know, try to look poorer than they were to try to get you to give. And if you're soft-hearted, you might get sucked into that. But we learned to really research and follow up and be careful, because we wanted to make sure this isn't my money that I'm giving away. It's God's money, you know, but it's a wonderful system. And the whole thing I'm trying to say to you is, someone here, you're worried about poverty. You're worried about your future. I want you to know God wants to bless you, but he wants it done in a right order and with a right heart. Amen. God loves you. God wants the best for you. But he also doesn't want, you know, there's been messages preached where it was preaching the laws of sowing and reaping without the heart. And I think that's really dangerous, because then you get a bunch of people who don't have the kingdom first, right? Aren't truly in it for God. And they're trying to work the system, and sometimes they even work it successfully, but their heart hasn't really been changed like it needs to be. And I'm not the judge of all the earth, but I'm just saying that's not the best system. And often I see people like that struggling then and saying, well, why didn't it work? Well, it's about the heart, you know? So I didn't mean to go off on that, but there's divine strategies for you. I don't want any people that are listening to me, I don't want you to have one moment of fear or worry. In fact, I'm just going to take this minute right now. Lord, I just break off any fear or worry, that feeling of being troubled in the spirit, feeling pressure in the spirit. I break that off in the name of Jesus. I break off any fear that's trying to come against anyone that's listening to me. I take authority over it by the blood of Jesus, the blood of the Lamb. And I thank you for each person. Father, I bless them in the name of Jesus. And I ask you to give them such wonderful strategies. I ask you to make them shine like the noonday sun in the name of Jesus.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Holly Bailey. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.